So I just wanted to chat about VHS and stuff.
VHS, hell yeah.
Do you remember what it even stands for?
Video home system.
Video home system.
That was my understanding. Video home system. You could watch a video at home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my first VCR was one of those top loaders with the plug-in remote controls.
Was it a silver one?
Yeah, silver with wood
Yeah,
paneling.
the silver one, yeah. Man, they were good. Some of them were really good. One of the best things about those, if you still had one in the 90s, if you were copying videos, like copying rental ones, they were so out of date that they didn't pick up the copy protection macrovision signal at all. So the best thing about those top loading ones is they were just so dead basic and they lasted a long time. They weighed a ton, but you could safely copy if you just had one of them just to play back the rental tape, and you could record onto another VCR that was a more modern one. Didn't matter as long as you had one of those top loading ones. Most of them didn't pick up the macrovision copy protection signal, so that was great.
It's kind of like a really old guy that just laughs in the face of the problems the modern world throws at him.
Yeah, or has no clue.
Exactly. What was your first video you rented?
Very first videotape I personally rented. Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Really? How old are you,
Yeah.
man?
Me, 30, almost 37.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah, I didn't rent it on release. I rented it, later. It was a couple of bucks in the video store. And so I went, "Oh, Friday the 13th, I've heard of them. That's that guy with the mask." And I started at number 5, so you can imagine how confused I was, right?
Right.
Because it's like reading about the Halloween movies, and then your first one's number 3. You're kind of like, "Whoa, what's going on?"
Right. I remember renting the first Halloween, and I couldn't even tell what was going on in that movie because the video transfer was so awful, and the
That was
screen
a
was all squeezed, and the
yeah.
colors were washed out.
That was a dark movie. That was a dark movie. I don't really think that movie ever looked any good until the DVD era. Almost every videotape I saw of that thing, you could barely even make out what was going on. It was
Right.
so dark. Especially when you got a tape that was, it had been worn a little bit and played a little bit and looked a little bit grainy and washed out. It just compounded that. I still maintain I never saw that movie until it came out on DVD.
You could always tell when someone really liked a part in a VHS tape because it would sort of get all wavy and stuff because they would keep rewinding the same part over and over.
Right.
I think my first one that I rented was actually the Scaremaker, which in the States is called Girls' Night Out.
Right.
And the front cover basically ruined the entire movie. It had the Do you remember that movie had the killer in the giant bear suit?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, on the cover, they have the killer without their costume on. And basically spoiled the entire mystery, but I rented it anyway, and it was such a cheap and grim and nasty movie. I was just sort of in love with slashers after that.
Yeah, I mean my first VHS rentals were a bit of a mixed bag, really. I was reliant on this little corner store. I hadn't even ventured downtown into the big chain stores. I just used for some reason I sort of stuck to that neighborhood store for the first few months. And yeah, like I said, Friday the 13th Part 5, they didn't have the hugest horror section, but what they did have seemed to be the best thing about a lot of these, independently owned family stores. They didn't have the massive selection, but they always seemed to have stuff the big chain stores didn't have, or they'd always have that sequel that that latter sequel that you couldn't find at the big chain store. For
Right.
instance, Howling, all the big chain store in town. There was two or three of this particular. It was called United Video chain. They must have made some sort of company decision to not stock Howling or anything past Howling 4, it must have just been like, okay, they've done the numbers, you know, nationwide, and those movies weren't renting. So, you know, you had to re then you rely on kind of the independents that kind of took a punt on some of these titles. So I had, you know, I got Howling 5 from the independent store that was around the corner from me, and Howling 6, I had to ride my BMX bike an hour and a half out of town to another independent store to find Howling 6. And man,
Wow.
I mean, it was an event. It was an yeah. I'd pack a bag, I'd pack a drink and some like food. You know, I'd ride halfway, I'd stop and eat and have a drink. And I'd get there. It was like an event, and you didn't. You know, I didn't get home till later. You know, and that evening you watched that. You really worked for that movie, man. And sometimes it sucked. You know, sometimes you watched it and went, man, that was even worse
Garbage.
today. Yeah, like Amityville Curse, Amityville the fifth Amityville movie. I had to go 2 hours out of town, like a pilgrimage, to get that. I used to do ring around on the phone and find out what everyone had, you know, within, you know, sort of realistic boundaries, you know, of what, because some stores weren't going to let you join up if you live miles away. But you know, I always sort of had some story. Oh, I got a friend here; he lives in this town, and you know, I always had some story. Yeah, I mean, Amityville Curse was just dreadful. That wasn't even worth going 10 minutes for, let alone 2 hours. But
Right.
a lot of the time, it paid off big time, you know.
Well, you mean you don't like Amityville Curse? You don't like movies about 40-something
One
couples
death, one
in
death.
ugly sweaters?
No, I don't. Funnily enough, I don't.
My first video store also doubled as a cigarette store. So
Awesome.
there's always this sleazy undertone because kids would be taking letters to the store to get cigarettes for their parents, and I'll be taking a letter from my parents to rent horror videos. And the people on the other side of the counter, you know, they knew that it was, you know, sometimes bullshit, but it was a really cool scene.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got the letter thing used to work for me. I mean, I rented things like Killing Spree, which was an 18, and it was just in New Zealand. There was a what was it? Was it, obviously there was a G, there was a PG, there was a PG-13, and then there was a 16 and an 18. And I was renting all these at 12. The 16s they were cool with because it was recommended 16. It wasn't restricted 16, but the 18s were like restricted 18. You had to be 18, but the parental note thing worked. I mean, they just, I guess they were just happy to get that $3.50 or whatever. And these days, I would imagine you probably have to, if there was still such a thing, you'd have to go down with your parents, you know. If that, even if they let your parents get it for you.
We didn't have a PG-13 equivalent here in Australia, but I remember about 1993. So we had G, PG, I guess M was the PG-13 equivalent.
Yeah,
So rated 10.
I remember observing a lot of the Australian ratings because they're actually the same tapes. They were manufactured in Australia and sent to New Zealand, and then New Zealand would slap their rating sticker over top of the Australian one. And sometimes, you know, the sticker wasn't always positioned correctly, so you could clearly see what was, you could clearly see the, you know, the Australian rating, which seemed to be a lot more, the New Zealand one seemed to be a bit more lax. Australians tend to put that automatic 15 on all the horror movies.
Right. It was a big deal when the MA rating came out here. So that was between M and R, which is restricted. So MA was for 15 and over. And I got totally dicked at the movie theater. I went to see Jason Goes to Hell. This was
93.
the first Jason movie that I would actually get to see theatrically. And
Me too.
it was the first MA movie that came out at the theaters as well, or one of the first ones. And the lady at the ticket booth knocked me back because I was 15 years old. She said, 15 and over means you have to be over 15, meaning you have to be 16. So she couldn't count, right? And
15 and over. You know, if you're one day over 15, you're over 15.
Right. But you know, this is some type of people you can't logic, like disgruntled ticket booth workers, I guess. But
Yeah.
yeah, so that was only on for a week, and I had to painfully wait for it to come out on VHS. And then once there was a release date, I was really hanging out for that movie, and I got a number of different places to reserve it, and I had to get my dad to help me sign up at a larger video store just so I would have that as a backup. It was like an FBI sting.
Was it really that one of two things here? Was there really that many people interested that it was going to be sold out on day one or rented out on day one, or was it just not that many stores getting it in your area?
Well, here in Australia, the Friday the 13th movies got a bit of a raw deal on video since probably since part six or something. I just remember them being really kind of major in the mid-80s, but then after, I guess, part five, that they became a bit more scarce.
Yeah, it didn't have that problem in New Zealand. There was always about three or four copies of each one. I was a little bit concerned about Friday the 13th Part 9, Jason Goes to Hell. I was a little bit concerned because, there was some talk about some stores not bothering because it didn't do so well at the theatre. But then, this was the era, wasn't it, of VHS? Especially, and what we're talking about is we lived in a foreign market. We didn't live in America where pretty much everything was geared for the American market, so you could usually find it because it was released in that country. Not everything was released in Australia or New Zealand. A lot of major movies never ever came out there, made for horror fans, at least major movies. And so there was always that little bit of, like, are we going to get the next, are we going to get Jason Goes to Hell? Well, I hope so, and if it did come out, it was always months later. It was my first Macrovision tape, actually. I had to use one of those, like going back to what we're talking about with the top loading silver machine. One of my neighbors had one of them. I had to borrow that machine. That's how I found, I had this brainwave that maybe an old machine wouldn't pick up the Macrovision. That's how I got educated that these old top loading ones were too old, that the Macrovision signal just didn't work. So that was great. I got a good, nice, clean copy of Jason Goes to Hell. Because you couldn't buy it. They didn't have sell through then. And if they did, it was like Disney movies. You couldn't just go and buy the new Friday the 13th. You were forced into piracy. You had to rent it. And if you wanted to own it, you had to make a copy.
I was amazed when Creepshow, which used to be my favorite horror movie in the 80s, that came out on TV. They played it on TV late at night, and I recorded it.
That was the
And
easy
they
way
have
around, wasn't
the
it?
ads.
That
They
was the easy
had
way.
all the ads in it. So every time I'd watch it, I'd have to go through the ads, even if I was fast forwarding. And I kind of got to know the ads and commercials like they were part of the movie. It was a bit annoying, but you do what you gotta do.
I mean, we're talking about collecting horror. We had video stores, whatever the local neighborhood stores we had. If you lived in a massive city, you were, probably a bit more spoiled for choice because you had a huge or a big range of stores. I lived in sort of a medium-sized city, so it was a bit hit and miss, but I did pretty good. There was a lot of other towns, just sort of an hour away, and I was able to kind of ride on my bike and go out there and get, movies like, Halloween Part 2. No one had it in my city, but everyone had Halloween 2 out of town. I had to go out of town to get it. Sleepaway Camp 1 and 2, I had to convince my parents to drive an hour to the next city and join a store with some cock and bull story about how, like, my dad's going to start working in that city and we're going to be commuting back and commuting. I mean, honestly, I can't believe how I even talked him into going into a video store under false pretenses and talking about a job that didn't exist and joining a store. And I had to, I mailed the tapes back because there's no way my parents are going to make that 2 hour tr that hour and a bit trip twice in a week.
Right,
So I had to
right.
post the tapes back and then hope that they got there because, these were the days where you thought, like, if you didn't return the tape, the police were going to come and get you.
Right,
And
right.
or they were going to start calling my parents, where are these tapes? So that was Sleepaway Camp 1 and 2. Number 3, great, as classic example of a well-known horror movie that was never released in Australia and New Zealand. Number 2 ends on the cliffhanger there. And then number 3, I mean, it took me 5 years to get a Dutch copy of that with the Dutch subtitles, but it was in English language.
Right. And it's worth clarifying that actually buying movies on VHS was completely out of the question in the 80s and
Not
first half
exactly.
of the
I mean,
90s. You just there was no market.
you wouldn't even get X rental copies. unless you knew someone whose dad owned a store or something like that, getting a copy of a horror movie, an original one, oh boy, I mean that was occasionally you'd see a box of movies somewhere in like a one of those charity stores, but they were usually not horror. Man, it was
Right.
rough. It was rough. So back in the old days, I used to make the copies. You get two movies on a 3-hour cassette, and then sometimes I'd color. I had a there's a color photocopy place in a university where I lived. The university had a color photocopier which was there for the students to use. But I used to just walk in and I'd color copy the. If I had two movies on a cassette, I'd sort of pick the one with the coolest cover and color copy that cover. I used to go around buying those clamshell cases, which were sometimes quite hard to find as well because they weren't sort of like for, there wasn't that much of a market for video cases. But sometimes you'd see stores that had a whole bunch of them, so I'd buy a whole bunch of them and make a color copy. And I had a big shelf of like dubbed cassettes. I had hundreds of cassettes. It was crazy.
Right. I think one of my favorite video stores here in Australia was a really little one, and when you went in, they had the new releases standing up face out on the counter, arranged really nicely. So you could see everything that was out that week as soon as you came in. And one of them was Silent Night, Deadly Night, which was
Right.
actually banned in one of our states here, Queensland. And the VHS,
Everything got banned in Queensland.
yeah, the
Texas Chainsaw
VHS of
Massacre
Silent
2,
Night,
basically
Bloody
what it
Night,
is.
Deadly Night. I'm mixing those two up. Anyway, so the VHS really actually was proud of being banned in Queensland, and it had a big fat sticker on the front, banned in
Banned in
Queensland,
Queensland.
exclamation point. And
Yeah.
it had a Santa standing in a doorway with an axe, and it just looked like the most interesting thing ever.
It's a great movie, and it's funny you mentioned that because as we came along, it's a good example actually. As we get to part three, did not come. I mean, that was like what 89. Part three was a new release in New Zealand in 1992. It took 3 years to come out in New Zealand. I don't know if it was the same in Australia, but it was actually, I think Dino Video distributed it.
Oh, yeah,
And it was sort of a
that's
big deal. It was sort of a big deal. I remember walking into a couple of my local stores, and there was five, t 10 copies in a row on the new release shelf. And I'm like, "Son, I didn't like part three." Oh, okay.
that's way too many copies of Silent Night, Deadly Night free from Dino Video, because do you remember the quality of that tape?
I don't. I remember it being quite watchable. It was okay.
Yeah. Every
But
time I tried to copy it, the
it had a
sound was
trailer.
just awful.
Oh right, okay. It had a trailer for a part four, and I'm like, a part four already? Like I've only just rented. This is before movie guides and internet. 1992, as far as I was concerned, this was a new movie. Obviously, this was the benefit of the people that made these movies, the foreign markets where you could, be pushing something 2 years later as a new release in a country that didn't know any better, like New Zealand. And
Right.
then in 1993, we got part four. But I don't think part three or four rented very well at all because if you could find a part five in New Zealand, it was like you could not find it. I think I one store in I mean I rang the whole of the South Island in New Zealand almost trying to find part five, which came out in 1995, and
Right.
one store had a copy, and it was actually really a store that was actually in my city. They just opened up called Video Village. They were massive. They were the main competitor to United Video. And I always remember being in other cities and seeing them going, I wish we had one of them here. They opened up and they had more horror than I'd ever seen. And the guy actually invited me in before opening day. I was just looking through the window and the owner goes, "Oh, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm just can't wait to see what horrors you got, man." I was like 13-year-old kid or whatever. And he goes, "Come in and have a look." He goes, "We're open next week." And I went, "I can come and have a look." I went in there, and I tell you, man, they had Friday the 13th, the series. They had about three or four cassette tapes of that, something I'd been trying to find. They had Silent Night, like five. I held it in my hand, and I said, "Dude, is there any way I can rent this today?" And the guy just went, "Just take it. just come sign up next week. I can tell you're going to be a good customer. Just take it and watch it, and then bring it back, tomorrow. He goes, we're here all week setting up, and he let me just take it home for free. No name, no phone number, nothing. Just, and I did. I took it home, copied it, of course, brought it back the next day, and I said, dude, thank you so much, man. And he's like, no problem. You want to grab another one? He was really trying to set me up as a permanent customer, and believe me, I was, because they had cheerleader camp as bloody pom-poms. I'd never that tape I'd never seen anywhere before in New Zealand, and they just had Rawhead Rex, all sorts of stuff, Hunter's Blood. They had Amityville Curse. This was about 2 years after I'd done that hour long, 2 hour long ride to find that. It was like a whenever a new video store chain moved into town, it was always exciting because it was like, what were they gonna have? What are they gonna have?
Yeah. It was some of the best stores here in Australia were sort of little ones that popped up out of nowhere, and you also got the sense that they might close down just as easily. So you kind
Yeah.
of you scooped up what you could while you could.
Exactly.
One of these little stores, I remember in the mid 80s, I was a kid at the time, and you don't know everything when you're a kid. And sometimes you take things very literally. So the video store clerk, who wouldn't let me rent Silent Night, Deadly Night straight away because he was actually watching it in the store,
Oh.
which is, you wouldn't hear of something like that happening today. You'd ha
Oh, yeah.
they'll be all over Facebook as an evil store, displaying gore, and people will be up in arms and stuff. But
Oh, yeah.
he's just your typical badass video clerk. Didn't want to rent a tape out because he wanted to watch it a few times, but he did suggest me to rent April Fool's Day, and he explained to me that it was sort of a spoof of Friday the 13th and all these other horror movies. But the way he explained it, I there was something lost in translation, and because I was a kid, the way I heard it was that this movie would have Jason and Michael Myers and basically all the characters from the major horror movies in it. I was so
Right,
disappointed,
right.
but that turned out to be a pretty sweet movie anyway.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Another one I liked was one that was every store had it, and I didn't rent some of the ones that I saw in every single store. I didn't rent because I sort of was focusing on some of these, things like, oh, I don't see that tape everywhere. What's this one all about? But it was something that was everywhere. It was American Gothic.
With Rod Steiger?
Michael J. Pollan was in it. American Gothic.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same one.
The
When they
pitchforks.
get, oh
The old couple holding the pitchforks. That was on Virgin Video. And for some reason, I associate that and April Fool's Day together. Do you know why? Because I had them both on the same tape. And that was the other thing we'll come to is if you had two movies on the same blank cassette. Now, I don't know if you've got American listeners. But I believe that the most typical blank VHS over there was a 2 hour one because of the NTSC signal was different from the PAL signal. One of those 2 hour US tapes actually runs as 3 hours in New Zealand, Australia, and I believe Europe. So it was actually the same tape, but it just ran at a different speed. So yeah, we get a 3 hour blank tape, and I could get two movies on there because they always ran for 85 minutes. Sometimes you'd get 91 minutes and something could be 87 or whatever. But if you had two movies on the one blank cassette, those two movies were kind of married for life in your mind. If I had Sleepaway Camp 2 and Slaughterhouse Rock on one tape, those two movies were forever joined. I'll always think of one and then the other.
Right. I think I had Night of the Comet and Blade Runner. It's always
Right.
good when you kind of see some sort of theme or some sort of element that links the two movies.
Yeah, and it was always nice to try and have, sequels in chronological order. You didn't want to have Halloween 5 and then Halloween 2 on the same, on the same tape. But sometimes it just happened because you didn't have a space on another tape, did you? And you thought, well, I'll just have to put it here.
We were really concerned about quality, so getting two movies onto a tape, standard speed, That was preferable. I remember when things started sliding into the darkness, because first I started recording things on long play, which meant four movies on one tape.
It wasn't so bad. Long play was pretty good. If you had a good, nice, clean original and a brand and a nice, clean, brand new blank tape, and it wasn't a tape that had been all beaten up,
Right.
long play was actually fine. There was very, very little wrong with it. It suffered more audio-wise than video, I thought. And but
Right.
for a movie, audio wasn't really a big deal. You know, for a music video, it was. But I used to, after I wound up sort of feeling like I was drowning in cassettes, with my mum going like, "How many of these things are you going to get?" I started just, you know, as a rule, just going like, "Okay, a long play four to a tape." The only
Oh.
time I would put it on standard play was if I was using it like a friend's dub of an original, you know, where there was like an extra generation.
Right.
I would maintain standard play. But you know what? The minute I started using long play and putting four on a tape. You're right. That is when things started getting a little messy because I don't know. I think just having that much on a tape made it harder to manage it, harder to find stuff, harder to, you know, you'd be writing on the label a little bit smaller. Sometimes you'd get a better version of a movie, a better quality version, and you couldn't sort of just tape over the one you had because it might interfere with the three other movies on the cassette. So then you'd tape it again on
Oh
another one.
yeah.
It started getting kind of, you know, that's when things started getting, I don't know, just a little. I think that two movies on one tape was just a nice, comfortable way to go because you can't really cock that up too much.
I kept going down that slippery slope, and I'm pretty sure in the final days, when you and I were renting stuff from the same video stores, I was
When
sticking
I moved
things
over,
on
when I moved over,
extended
I
play.
moved over, I moved over to Sydney, Australia, yeah, and we hooked up, and EP. It was kind of like,
Extended play,
yeah,
horrible.
it kind of got to that point where you're like, why bother, you know?
Why
But
bother?
the picture was still okay. It just wasn't. No,
Wasn't Giles.
the picture was kind of okay, you know.
Have you ever bought or rented a videotape that wasn't quite right? It may have been a pirate copy, an illegal and inferior copy for which you paid good money. Pirated tapes are recognizable by poorly presented or photocopied jackets, poor sound and/or picture quality, the lack of censor and other labels on the face and spine of the tape, and the absence of warnings, such as this at the beginning of the tape presentation. Pirate tapes rob artists and studios of their rightful income and add to the cost of a video to the consumer. Video piracy is a major problem in Australia. Please help us stop it. If you buy or rent a tape which you believe is not the genuine article, please phone this toll-free number for advice. Or write to Post Office Box 515, Monavale, New South Wales 2103. This message is brought to you by the Australasian Film and Video Securities Office.